Oh my God, it's the weekend. Isn't that great? 7 past the hour. Welcome to the Malloy program. I feel kind of worn out. How about you? I don't mean from the political nonsense. I'm talking about the weather. Whoa. We had another air pollution red day here in Atlanta. In the metro Atlanta area. I don't think it affects us out here, but maybe it does. I don't know. But anyway, code red means the air is unhealthy for everybody. Not babies and old people. Not people with compromised pulmonary systems. Not people with actual lung disease. Everybody. The recommendation today was stay inside? Well, I found that out after I go to our little neighborhood pool here in the morning when nobody's around and swim my laps, do my mile. So I'm doing that this morning. And, I'm not trying to set any records, not trying to do anything, just trying to stay alive. That's why I swim. It's a great exercise. It gets everything. It really does. But normally it takes me just under an hour. This is embarrassing to say, but it takes me just under an hour, about 55, 56 minutes, sometimes 53, to do a mile. And that's because I'm not trying to go fast. I'm just trying to not fold before the mile is up, right? Okay, you know this. If you probably do the same thing with your workouts, right? But anyway, so today I'm down there swimming, and it was a beautiful day, very low humidity down here. That's why everything's burning up. But very low humidity, which is unusual. And, you know, it's 10:30 in the morning. I'm trying to beat the intense rays of the sun and the air pollution. And it's like 10:30 in the morning. It's 91 degrees. Like, what? So I'm swimming, and all of a sudden I feel that feeling, that, you know, that tightness you get in your chest. If you're of a certain age and you're trying to swim a mile and you're doing it in air that is just filthy. But, you know, I kept going because I don't... I think exercise is great. And I try, you know, I just tell myself, okay, you're breathing deeply and you're breathing stuff that is going to kill you, probably, maybe. But, you know, just wait till you get home and then go sit in the basement where it's real cool and breathe there. So I did. But it's terrible. And I'm waiting. Has Pat Robertson come out and blame the fires in Colorado on Gay Pride Month? Gene in San Antonio sent that to me. He said, you know, what's the delay here? Or has Pat Robertson come out and said maybe the incredible amount of suicides in the military is because they changed to don't ask, don't tell? Yeah, where's Pat Robertson? Come on. Come on, Pat. These are fires from hell, right? Of course, they're burning up the property of right-wing Christians. And threatening the Air Force Academy. And, yeah, you know, Pat. I guess, remember Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, a couple of white devils sitting around talking after the 9/11 attack. And you remember what Falwell said, and Robertson sat there nodding his head and reaching over to scratch Jerry's thigh. You remember what they were talking about, that the reason the 9/11 attacks occurred was because God had dropped his veil of protection. That's quite an image. His veil of protection. Because of the feminists and the lesbians and the gays and the secularists and the liberals. Remember that? But see, that was New York. Well, Pat, yo. What about those good, righteous people out in Colorado? That's how they identify themselves. They don't want no government, nothing. They're right-wingers. They're Bible beaters. Well, you'd think if anyone were to be protected, it would be folks like that. And yet the floods occur in the Bible Belt of the South. The flood, the fires occur in the Bible Belt of the Mountain West. The tornadoes occur in the plain states of the Bible Belt there. Anyway, it's hotter than 20 hells. Maybe I should ask Satan. Hold on a minute. Hello, Satan! Hello, hell! Hey, what's happening? No, don't get so close. Yeah, right. I'll just make this quick. I gotta close the portal because it really smells down there. What's going on? It's hotter than hell? Yeah, I know. I've heard that before. Yeah? No kidding! People running around naked. Well, I thought y'all were naked anyway. Ah, I see. Okay, it's sinful to be naked. All right. Oh, by the way, how's Andy? He did what? You're kidding. What a hoot. Oh, my God. Listen, do me a favor. Lower the heat up here a little bit, okay? Everybody knows it's hotter than hell in hell, but it doesn't have to be hotter than hell not in hell. Can you do that for us? Satan? You what? You're busy? You're getting ready for who? No. Can I mention that on the air? I better not. When do you expect this person? You're kidding. Oh man, let me call MSNBC. Let me call the New York Huh? No, okay. All right. No, I don't want you to do that. Okay. Okay, well, no, I'll remember the conversation. All right, listen, just suck some of your hell back down into the hole, okay? It's hot up here. All right, okay, take it easy, Saint. Say hi to Andy, or not. Thanks, Saint. Yeah, same to you. The greeting from Satan is always, you know, when the conversation's over, it's always, I'll go to hell, you know, like most people say. Oh, never mind. This hour is being sponsored by Robert Farnsworth. His message. Senator Bernie Sanders and others whom I respect referred to some members of Congress as our Republican friends. These people are anything but our friends. In my mind, these so-called friends are guilty of treason and should be held accountable. But that's the problem. Nobody is held to account. Bush and Cheney and Rove killed over 250,000 civilians in Iraq and thousands of our own troops just to win an election. Nothing. Wall Street bankers. Nothing. Until these people who are destroying this country in the pursuit of ultimate greed and power are held accountable, things will only get worse. The last time we were in a situation like this, it led to World War II, where over 58 million people were killed. Oh, and the rich did get richer. So I say let's bring some of these people to justice and avoid such a thing again because they couldn't care less who suffers or dies. Better them than us. Mike Malloy calls these people rat bastards. I like the sound of that. It's a start. I urge people to support this program and the very few others like Sam Cedar and Ring of Fire as best they can and as I try to do. Hey, Mike, don't stop calling them rat bastards and take care and keep it lit. All right, Robert. Thank you. Great message. And thanks for the sponsorship and the support of the program. Robert Farnsworth. All right, we have a break coming up. I'm just surprised, that's all, that Pat Robertson hasn't blamed the fires on Gay Pride Month. Maybe he's just working up to the right way to phrase it. Hey, later on tonight, podcast trivia. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh my God, under my control. I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders. Jackets and army boots. My neck is
the air. Flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. This week, this past week, over 1,021 heat records have been broken around the country, including 251 new high temperature records on Tuesday, 3 days ago. I don't know. Does any of that bother any of you right-wingers? Don't call in, because I won't take your call, or I'll try not to, but I know you listen to the program. I mean, doesn't any of this mean anything to you at all? Oh, I know, it's because the sun is tilting or something. The earth is cycling. It just, frankly, it's kind of scary to me. It really is. You want to hear something from MittRomney.com? I love this. This is from his website, MittRomney.com. Mitt Romney's view of the Constitution is straightforward. Its words have meaning. The founding generation adopted a written constitution for a reason. They intended to limit the powers of government according to enduring principles. The job of the judge is to enforce the Constitution's restraints on government, and where the Constitution does not speak, to leave the governance of the nation to elected representatives. At times over the past 100 years, some justices on the Supreme Court did not carry out that duty. There were occasions when the Supreme Court declined to enforce the restrictions on power the framers had so carefully enumerated. At other points, the court created entirely new constitutional rights out of penumbras and emanations of the Constitution, abandoning serious analysis of the Constitution's text, structure, and history. Mitt believes in the rule of law, and he understands that the next president will make nominations that will shape the Supreme Court and the whole of the judiciary for decades to come. He will therefore appoint wise, experienced, and restrained judges who will take seriously their oath to discharge their duties impartially in accordance with the Constitution and laws, not their own personal policy preferences. As president, Mitt will nominate judges in the mold of Chief Justice John Roberts. Justices who hold dear what the great Chief Justice John Marshall called, quote, the basis on which the whole American fabric has been erected, end quote. A written constitution with real and determined meaning. The judges that Mitt nominates will exhibit a genuine appreciation for the text, structure, and history of our Constitution and interpret the Constitution and the laws as they are written. And his nominees will possess a demonstrated record of adherence to these core principles. How soon before that's going to be removed? That little bit about, as President, Mitt will nominate judges in the mold of Chief Justice John Roberts. You sorry bastard. Oh, my God. What a clown show. What a clown act. I really wonder how all the pundits on television can take seriously what they take seriously about the Affordable Care Act decision and blah blah blah, and Romney and Obama's campaign and all these right wingers in Congress. I just wonder how they can get so serious about these issues. And the reason I said it, because the issues they get so serious and give so much focus and attention to are the wrong issues. I mean, come on. Who gives a goddamn who gets elected president? Oh, I know, the Supreme Court. Who cares if certain states in the South mostly decline Medicare extension, even though the federal government will pay for it for the next 3 years? It doesn't matter. I'll tell you what matters. What really matters is the fact that our nest is on fire. That's what matters. What matters is the fact that we're overpopulated. What matters is we're getting to the point where it's getting harder and harder to breathe. What matters is sea level increases are going much faster than even the most dire predictions of 20 years ago. That's what matters. Really, that's what matters. Whether or not Obama or Roberts becomes president is incidental garbage. It doesn't mean anything. So what? Who becomes president? So what? Who gets on the Supreme Court? So what? Both of these corporatists are going to allow the tar sands to flow, the oil from the tar. Both of these presidential hopefuls are going to continue to blow the tops off of mountains. They're both going to continue to gut environmental protection rules. So what difference does it make? But oh, the attention that's focused on all this minutia, all this hogwash, all this bird snot that passes for serious discussion. Eh?
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
You're damn right, boy. All right, once again, this hour is sponsored by Robert Farnsworth. He's got a message. He writes, Senator Bernie Sanders and others whom I respect refer to some members of Congress as our Republican friends. Yeah, I hate that too. I really do, Robert. That just turns my stomach every time I hear that. These people are anything but our friends. In my mind, these so-called friends are guilty of treason, should be held accountable. But that's the problem. Nobody is held to account. Bush and Cheney and Rove killed over 3 million civilians in, well, Robert says 250,000. Can I edit this, Robert? Okay. Bush, Cheney, and Rove killed over 2 million civilians in Iraq and thousands of our own troops just to win an election. Nothing. Wall Street bankers, nothing. Until these people are destroying the country in the pursuit of ultimate greed and power are held accountable, things only get worse. I sound like that guy in Men in Black. You know. No, not Will Smith, the white guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. I mean. I can't think of him either.
Tommy Lee Jones.
The last time we were in a situation like this, it led to World War II, where over 58 million people were killed. Oh, and the rich got richer. So I say, let's bring some of these people to justice and avoid such a thing again, because they couldn't care less who suffer or die. Better them than us. Mike Malloy calls these people rat bastards. I like the sound of that. It's a start. I urge people to support this program. And the very few others like Sam Cedar and Ring of Fire and The Horn as best they can. And as I try to do. Hey, Mike, don't stop calling them rat bastards. And take care. And keep it lit. Thank you, Robert. Yeah, about a week ago, I took my grandson to see Men in Black 3. Feh. Oh, what a terrible movie. The first one was great. From Jim in Capitola, California. Mike, never thought that someone that talks and thinks like me would be allowed on the air. He's referring to me. At least until they come for you and me. I listen on KXRA in Monterey, California. Your comment last night about Americans who have turned ignorance into an art form is so truthful. It has been described as dumbed down, etc., but still, what is going on? It's been my experience that stupid produces stupid and horrible. And with 65% nitwits, at least hope does not spring eternal. Then the totally BS'd up crowd and the 50% who don't vote, well, put it together, we have a disaster. I used to be a guarded optimist, but being rational, I had to give that up along with hope. Now with nothing, I feel better. And damn, it is fun to watch conservatives suffer. Who would have thought that Roberts had a conscience? Not me. Keep up the good work. I wish I could be a sponsor, but alas, the bastards have pretty much left me just hanging on at age 68. The banksters didn't like me. I was a commercial banker who thought independently and could not be bought in the early years of Silicon Valley. But I'm still raising hell with what I can do. Jim in Capitola, California. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the email. What else? We're doing some weekend, during the week emails here. This is from Alan. And subject line, last comment on the Affordable Care Act. Mike, good job on discussing ACA. Just wanted to make a couple of final points. Number one, Roberts' position is no surprise. Roberts has always been pegged as the quintessential corporatist, and this decision confirms that he is one. I actually expected the role to be taken by Kennedy, but it is apparent that he falls into the ideological rather than corporatist category. The bigger point I made yesterday is the old liberal-conservative right-left dichotomy is misleading and largely irrelevant now. The real division is between corporatists, those who support the emerging neo-feudalist order, and anti-corporatists, which may fall anywhere in the original spectrum. Alex Jones is an anti-corporatist, as is Dennis Kucinich. As I write this, I hear one of your listeners make the same point. Two, if I am correct, and that the deep politics control, and they are in turn controlled by corporatists, then you will not see the mandate reversed, either politically or judicially. You will see the other protections, pre-existing conditions, prohibition, for instance, watered down or eliminated. But the essential corporatist goal, the mandate, will survive. You will see great hysteria. But this will be just a further manifestation of the pseudo-battle fought for the entertainment and distraction of the masses. At most, it will be used to gut the real benefits, but will not touch the real fascist evil here. And three, I knew you had to be a Leonard Cohen fan. And perfect place to put Dylan's Everything is Broken. You have to be arranging those things yourself. Nobody else you hang with can be that old. Keep them burning. Alan. Yeah, Leonard Cohen, oh hell yes. All the way back to, I don't know, what, the 60s? Cohen is older than God. Cohen may be God. If, you know, if one existed, it would be Leonard Cohen. He's Jewish. He is a poet. He's kind of a radical. Not completely. But kind of. He certainly is a radical where it concerns love and romance and so on and so forth. He's Canadian, which is a saving grace. I have never been to a Leonard Cohen concert. And I lose sleep over that. I really do. I'd love to see him in concert. This last time, when how old is he? 83, 84? And I know there's some people that say Eric Clapton is God. No. There is a website that I think if you do not live in the South, and even if you do, but I get a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of people say, well, why do you live there? What, you know, I don't understand the South. I can't get my mind. You should check out this website. I just found it today. Southernstudies.org. Southernstudies.org. Now, right now, there's a special report that's posted there, written by Chris Crom. And he writes, the Supreme Court's closely watched 5-4 decision upholding ACA has sent shockwaves through state legislatures that will have to carry it out. Now, the fallout from the ruling will be especially interesting to watch in southern states, which have some of the highest rates of uninsured people, as well as lawmakers who have been some of the act's most vociferous critics. And then he, end quote, then he has a list of, or a survey of where southern states stand and the reaction of state lawmakers to the ACA. Now, we know this is true. You know, in the Bible Belt, in the South, has the highest murder rate, the highest the highest rape rate, the highest assault rate, the highest addiction rate, the highest divorce rate, the highest child brutality rate in the Bible Belt. So, you know, if you want to be a smartass, you can say that Christianity causes all of those societal ills. All that violence is caused by Christianity, if you want to be a smartass. If you want to be a sociologist, you would take a look at that and say, is there a cause and effect here, or is this just coincidence? But what the Christians will tell you is, it's okay. We beat the hell everybody down here and kill folks and burn houses down because we know the Lord will forgive us come Sunday morning. God damn, that's why we do what we do. Well, maybe. But at southernstudies.org, they take a look at how this ruling is going to affect the South. They start with Alabama because it begins with an A, an A-L instead of an A-R, which is Alabama, the number of uninsured in Alabama, 720,000 state residents are uninsured, or about 15-16% of the population. Now, before the Supreme Court decision, the Republican governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley, created a commission last year to recommend a plan for a health insurance exchange. But he successfully opposed efforts to enact one in May. Critics said the bill would have limited the exchange to companies operating statewide. Now, the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling from the governor: I'm deeply disappointed by today's Supreme Court decision. The health care law is an overreach by the federal government that creates more regulation, bureaucracy, and a dramatic increase in cost to taxpayers. The ACA is the single worst piece of legislation to come out of Congress. The law must be repealed. People need more choices, not fewer choices. Bigger government is not the answer. Market-based solutions are the best solutions to giving the public the most affordable options. End quote, Governor Robert Bentley. Hey, dumbass, that's what we have right now. You crazy freak. That's what we have right now. And there's no such thing as a market-based solution to anything. There are only market-based problems. Hour, we're going to give away a one-year podcast subscription, gift subscription to the Malloy Show, commercial-free podcast trivia. One more time. Robert Farnsworth is sponsoring this hour. And here's his message. Senator Bernie Sanders and others whom I respect refer to some members of Congress as our Republican friends. These people are anything but our friends. In my mind, these so-called friends are guilty of treason and should be held accountable. But that's the problem. Nobody is held accountable. Bush and Cheney and Rove killed over 2 million civilians in Iraq and thousands of our own troops just to win an election. Result? Nothing. Wall Street bankers? Nothing. Until these people who are destroying the country in the pursuit of ultimate greed and power are held accountable, things only get worse. The last time we were in a situation like this, it led to World War II, where over 58 million people were killed. Oh, and the rich got richer. So I say let's bring some of these people to justice and avoid such a thing again, because they couldn't care less who suffers or dies, and better them than us. Mike Malloy calls these people rat bastards. I like the sound of that as a start. I urge people to support this program and the very few others like Sam Cedar and Ring of Fire as best they can, and as I try to do. And Mike, don't stop calling them rat bastards, and take care. Oh, and keep it lit. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate the sponsorship, and your message is pretty cool, too. From southernstudies.org. It's a website you ought to check out once in a while if you want to know what the hell's going on here. All right, how the health care rulings fallout will affect the South. We did Alabama. Arkansas. Number of uninsured, 539,000 state residents are uninsured, or about 20%. Before the Supreme Court decision, Arkansas opted for a federal-state partnership for its health insurance marketplace. Legislators blocked a bill by which the state would have created its own insurance exchange, but have since accepted a grant that will allow it to at least have a role in the federally created exchange. And the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, a statement from the Democratic governor of Arkansas, Mike Beebe. He says, quote, "We will study the impact the court's ruling will have on health care in Arkansas going forward. In the meantime, our separate initiative to create cost savings and improve health care in Arkansas continues. Our aim is to set an example other states can follow, regardless of what transpires next in Washington, D.C. Now, compare Governor Beebe's statement with the one from this half-wit in Alabama. "It's the worst piece of legislation to come out of Congress. Law must be repealed. God damn it, and everything else. And fire and hell and dirty rocks and bird droppings on the whole world because there you go." See the difference between a Republican governor and a Democratic governor? Florida. Number of uninsured in Florida, almost 4 million. Or about 22% of the population. Before the Supreme Court decision, Republican Governor Rick Scott, on his orders, Florida rejected or declined to pursue more than $106 million of money for implementing the law and has returned $4.5 million. The state has its own health insurance exchange, but without an individual mandate and has not implemented an exchange that would meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. Rick Scott said regarding the Supreme Court ruling, well, he declined to comment on the decision so far, saying, "Well, I need to renew it first. I need to review it first." Florida's Republican Attorney General Pam Bondi said she was, quote, "surprised, shocked," end quote. "I'm surprised and shocked." Georgia. Number of uninsured, 1,905,000, or about 20%. Before the Supreme Court decision, Georgia has taken no action on anything to implement a health care exchange. And various bills to allow or hinder the states carrying out the bill have failed to pass. We don't do anything down here. Say, this is Georgia, goddammit. Except we keep them old Mexicans out. Yeah, didn't we do a good job on them Mexicans? Of course, we've got just hundreds, if not thousands, of farmers going bankrupt now because there's nobody to get out there in this heat and pick the goddamn crops. Isn't that a knee slapper? Woohoo! We sure showed them Mexicans. Yes, we did. The reaction to the Supreme Court ruling by Governor Nathan Deal, Republican, who retired from Congress so he could run for governor and avoid an investigation that was coming his way in Congress. But that's a different story. Nathan Deal has not yet responded. Democrats here in the state of Georgia are pressing that Republicans must be responsible. And move forward on implementation. Well, since I live here, let me say that there's nothing going to be implemented here. Governor Nathan Deal is like a mud ball. Remember when you were a kid and you used to make mud balls and they were totally worthless? You just make them. You make a mud ball. And if you're evil little bastard, you throw it at your buddy or the girl down the street or whatever. But Nathan Deal is a mud ball. There's nothing there. It's just mud. He's just a mud ball. That's where I live. I live where the governor's a mud ball. Hot damn. Yeehaw!
Stay tuned.
This is the Malloy program. Thanks for hanging around. There's a thousand other things you could be doing this Friday night, but for some reason you're here. This hour, sponsored by Ralph in Austin, Texas. Ralph's message. Mike, thank you very much for your program. I do appreciate it. Well, thanks, Ralph. No, actually, this hour is sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms, and this message is written by Tim in L.A. The message, we here at the Mike Malloy chat, as well as the Mike Malloy Head on Radio Network Skype chat, want to thank you for being the lone voice of sanity among the conservative madness spewing their hatred upon us. Your message to us every night, even when it's a best of or when Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is on, your message prevents us from taking that proverbial leap off the ledge of life or reaching for box four of the four boxes to preserve liberty in hatred. We want to thank you, and I'm sure the folks in Japan would say the same. Whatever the hell that means. thank you. The Malloy chat. This is about what, Kathy? The 30th time they've sponsored the program? What a group. If you want to get in that chat, all you have to do is go to MikeMalloy.com. And where do they log on to get in the chat, Kathy? Is there a link there? There'll be something there. You don't know? You don't know. Oh, my God. The producer doesn't know. Anyway, if you want to get into the chat room, you can do so. But there are a couple of great, big, muscular guys and some big, muscular women who are the bouncers there. And if you if you're a right winger or if you're a troll, I would advise if you come into that chat room, mind your manners, because they will give you a case of the cyber red ass that you will not forget. Bada bing, bada boom. Just a couple more here. How the South is going to is reacting to the Supreme Court decision. You can find this at southernstudies.org. It's a great website. I just came across it today. Somebody sent me a link. Oh, okay. If you want to go to the chat room, it's tinyurl.com/Mike Malloy chat. Well, that's right. They can't get there through our website anymore, can they? Or can't, I don't know. tinyurl.com/Mike Malloy chat. But mind your manners. And I guess they can get there from our website, but that's a good way to get there. tinyurl.com/Mike Malloy chat. And if any right-wingers or trolls want to come in, you are being asked to bring barbecue sauce. You people are crazy. All right, back to the how some of the southern states are reacting to the Supreme Court decision in Texas. Texas, I love this one. Texas, the number of uninsured in Texas is about 6.2 million people, or about 25%. Now, before the Supreme Court decision, where did Texas stand? Well, Governor Rick Perry and Texas have vehemently opposed the law, joining the lawsuit against it, and declining to implement a health care exchange. We ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. It's Texas. We ain't going to do it. The reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, Governor Rick Perry said the ruling, quote, will be a stomach punch to the American economy. Stomach punch? Okay. And called it, quote, a shock and disappointment to freedom-loving Americans desperate to get our country back on track. He also said this, Obamacare is bad for the economy, bad for health care, bad for freedom. Americans have made clear their overwhelming opposition to its convoluted, burdensome, and overreaching mandate. See, I got all three of them right that time, right? Freedom was frontally attacked. Frontally attacked? By passage of this monstrosity, and the court utterly failed in its duty to uphold the constitutional limits placed on Washington. Now that the Supreme Court has abandoned us, we citizens must take action at every level of government and demand real reform, done with respect for our Constitution and our liberty. The Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, who's also a Republican, was much less pessimistic. He called the ruling, quote, an historic victory for individual liberty, states' rights, and limited government. What? Oh, Rick Perry. I'll tell you what. When I'm elected president, you like my hair? When I'm elected president, there's three cabinet posts, or whatever you call them, I'm going to eliminate. And they are... The three that I'm going to eliminate are, Department of Bibles. No, wait a minute. Can't do that one. Is Rick Perry, what's up with Texas? I mean, y'all had a couple of decent governors, but George Bush and Rick Perry? Good God. Let me see. Is there any more here that look like I should tell you about them? Where's Kentucky? There's Kentucky. Number of uninsured in Kentucky, 640,000 state residents, or about 15%. Before the Supreme Court decision, Kentucky began the process of creating a statewide health insurance exchange. But the Democratic governor of Kentucky, Steve Beshear, was waiting for Supreme Court ruling before moving forward. Now, the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, no formal statement yet from the Democratic governor, but the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, said the court's decision was It's a road to repeal. That's what the turtle says, a road to repeal, whatever the hell that means. Just a few of the southern states that their reaction to the ruling, southern states that desperately need health insurance for its residents. But they ain't going to take any of that federal money. Now, another piece from SouthernStudies.org, a federal court has rejected Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli's challenge to the EPA's finding that unregulated greenhouse gas emissions pose a danger to human health and safety. That's what the EPA said. Very simple. Unregulated greenhouse gas emissions are a danger to human health and safety. And this Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli challenged that in court. Well, in an opinion issued, was it yesterday, a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia unanimously upheld the EPA's legal authority to limit industrial carbon pollution under the Clean Air Act. Cuccinelli had questioned the science behind the act. Doesn't say any of this in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible about carbon dive? What is it? Where does it say that in the Bible? But the judges wrote, quote, the EPA is not required to reprove the existence of the atom every time it approaches a scientific question, which goes to show that even some federal judges have a little bit of a sense of humor, right? Ah! Cuccinelli said that he plans to petition the Supreme Court to review the case. You're goddamn right. If we want people here in Virginia to breathe chunks of air, then by God, we'll do that. We want chunks in our air, and we want people to breathe those chunks. And we're not going to have no goddamn communist EPA telling us what to do. Where does it say in the Bible that you got to have clean air? Where? Somebody point that out to me, will you? Yeah, she sang her song.
It's Mike Malloy.
Lines are open for podcast trivia, which will come up at the bottom of this hour when we come back from the break, which will be about 14 minutes from now. We will do podcast trivia. The number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. This is kind of weird. It's from The Guardian of the UK. Palestinians won World Heritage status for the church in Bethlehem that is supposedly built over the site where Jesus was born. Now, UNESCO, the United Nations, blah, 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 has granted endangered World Heritage status and funding for repairs to this site. And guess who objected? Well, of course, Israel, but also the United States objected. So apparently, official U.S. policy of, or the official policy of the United States and Israel both, is that they hate Jesus. Obviously, they hate Jesus. 13 out of 21 members of the World Heritage Committee of UNESCO voted in favor of the move. The decision was met by a standing ovation. Six members voted against and two abstained. Now, it's a 4th century Church of the Nativity built over the a grotto where Christian tradition says Jesus was born, and it needs repairs. But the Palestinian Authority, which exercises limited self-rule in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, is short of funds. They need money. So, UNESCO granted them some money. Now, the Palestinian Authority's request included part of what is called the pilgrimage route, the path which tradition says Joseph and Mary took into the city 2,000 years ago on their trek from Nazareth. Palestinians had pointed out what they describe as the dangers of Israeli occupation, and cited in particular Israel's 2002 siege of the Church of the Nativity, where militants took sanctuary during a Palestinian uprising. Remember that? No, you don't remember that? Oh, I know. It was 10 years ago, right? Now, violence in that part of the occupied West Bank has subsided dramatically in recent years, regardless of what you hear Netanyahu say, and more than 2 million people now visit this church annually. Independent experts sent by UNESCO to examine the church recommended turning down the request, saying that while the church roof needed patching up, the shrine could not be considered, quote, to have been severely damaged or to be under imminent threat, end quote. Well, the rest of UNESCO didn't agree with that, or this committee, the World Heritage Committee. And they voted to give the Palestinians some money to take care of this. Israeli officials have questioned the need for Bethlehem to be registered as an endangered site and see Palestinian moves as an effort to embarrass Israel. Israel's occupying illegally. Get the hell out of Jerusalem! Oh, I know, I know. It's your holy city. I know. So it'd be like saying to Muslims, get the hell out of Mecca, right? I understand. But, you know, if you're going to occupy, there are certain things you have to do, Netanyahu. It's all written down, Geneva Conventions. You can be an occupier, but there's certain things you have to do. You have duties as an occupier. You understand what I'm saying? Benjamin, you have duties. You're right. Gideon Koren, Israel's vice president of the International Council on Monuments and Sites, said, quote, this is an irresponsible decision, end quote. And the U.S. ambassador to UNESCO, David Killian, said he was, quote, profoundly disappointed by the decision, end quote. Profoundly disappointed that UNESCO's World Heritage Committee voted to give some money for repairs to what is supposed to be the birthplace of the baby Jesus? Are you kidding me? Well, okay. Whatever. Hanan Ashrawi, I can never get her name right, said, quote, our goal is to preserve and safeguard these sites in spite of the threat from Israeli occupation. The Palestinian government plans to register about 20 more sites with UNESCO, including the ancient city of Jericho and the archaeological site of Sebastia. It's just so sad, right? So the United States and Israel say death to Jesus. They don't want to... You know, no money for World Heritage, nothing. I wonder if the right wingers, the Christian fundamentalists, this puts them in a bad spot because they support everything Israel does, up to and including death and destruction and detaining children and torture. And, you know, the Christian evangelicals love that. That's what they're supposed to do because, you know, they believe that Jesus will not return until the Israelis have so controlled Israel, and the stack of dead bodies is, 1,000 miles high. So that's what they believe. But here's the Israelis saying, well, we're going to vote against, and we think it's awful that money is going to clean up the site where Jesus was born. What are you going to do, evangelicals? Well, this must make you even crazier, huh?
Then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day. But just 'cause...
minute before the hour. This hour is being sponsored, by the way, by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. The message contained with the sponsorship was written by Tim in Los Angeles. The message, we here at the Mike Malloy chat, as well as the Mike Malloy Head on Radio Network Skype chat, want to thank you for being the lone voice of sanity amongst the conservative madness spewing their hatred upon us. Your message to us every night, even when it's a best of or when Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is on, prevents us from taking that proverbial leap off the ledge of life. Really? Or reaching for box four of the four boxes to preserve liberty in hatred. We want to thank you, and I'm sure the folks in Japan would say the same. Well, thanks, guys and girls, the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. Pretty powerful group of, you know, when the barricades go up, I want to be in that platoon. You know what I'm saying? All right, Maestro, shall we attempt to... It's time, once again, Johnny, for Podcast Trivia, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling, where, if you get the right answer to our Podcast Trivia question, you will win a one-year subscription to Mike Malloy Program Podcast. That's what we call it, Podcast Trivia. Commercial-free downloads or whatever. Put in your email box or wherever you want to put every morning. And then you have the program right there, okay? All you have to do is answer the question correctly. It is multiple choice, which is the easiest form of question, right? Who do we have, Johnny? Well, Mike, we have Desmond in Calgary, Canada. Hi, Desmond.
Mr. Malloy, big, big fan. Love what you do and how you do it.
Well, thank you very much. Are you ready to play?
I am, so.
All right, here we go. 2 years ago... Let me start that over again. 2 years ago, Rush Limbaugh, also known as the Pigman, vowed he would do which of the following if the Supreme Court upheld the Affordable Care Act? A. Start using OxyContin again until he went blind this time. B. He would stop going to the Dominican Republic for sex with underage prostitutes. C. He would become a Mormon. Or D, he would move to Costa Rica.
I'm going to say D.
D, you're absolutely right. Ouch. Oh, those bells hurt my ears. Yeah, that's the correct answer, Desmond, who moved to Costa Rica. Limbaugh, of course, is you know, a world-class liar, so I doubt if he's going to move to Costa Rica. But
yeah, I'd love to see it, though.
Oh, man. I think the Costa Ricans would, too. I think they might eat him. Just like, did you ever see the movie Suddenly last summer?
No.
Elizabeth Taylor and Lauren, was Lauren Bacall in that? Yeah, I think Lauren, no, not Lauren Bacall. Who was that? Who? Montgomery Clift, but the woman that played Montgomery Clift's aunt. I forget her name.
I didn't see that, no.
You need to see it sometime because there is a scene in that movie where Sebastian, that's the character who was Elizabeth Taylor's character's cousin, and Sebastian is eaten by Mexican street urchins.
Oh.
and it's quite the movie.
Well, I'd love to see that happen. Limbaugh, that would be fabulous.
Katharine Hepburn, that's who it was. Katharine Hepburn, Liz Taylor, and Montgomery Clift.
I'll have to check that out. Thank you.
Yeah, Suddenly Last Summer. You ought to get it. It's a great film. It came out, I guess, in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere around there. But it is a real scary flick.
I will check.
All right, Desmond, hold on. Kathy will get the pertinent information. Thanks for playing, Desmond, and thanks for and congratulations on winning. This is a spooky movie. It was, well, just see the movie. I was, you know, when I look back on that movie and the cultural time frame that that movie was released in the United States, I'm surprised. Who's this? Oh, my God, Kate in the desert. Hi, Kate.
I'm not in the desert anymore.
I know you're not. Where are you? You're in Montana?
I'm in Montana, yeah. Leonard Cohen is 78 and you aren't.
That's all he is?
Mm-hmm.
I thought somebody...
He was born in 34.
I thought somebody had told me that... No, I thought in a review of his last tour, his world tour, I thought I read that he was like 81 or 82. He's only 78.
I thought so, but I just looked it up, and his birthday is in 34, so you aren't... So
no,
anyway,
I'm not. I'm nowhere near that.
Me either.
I'm nowhere near that. Oh my God.
I just wanted to wish you happy birthday because remember about 5 years ago when that woman called in and sang that Mr. President happy birthday to you.
I do remember, right.
I have never forgotten that, and I thought maybe if I just call in and not sing and just say happy birthday, sugar, it would mitigate that. I mean, I just can't get that out of my mind. It was so spooky. Whatever.
Yeah, well, Kathy told me later that she'd never let that woman on the air again.
Oh, good. So she knows who
happy
she is.
Happy birthday.
And, oh, stop it. I'm trying to stop it.
That was really, really weird. Yeah.
I wish you would not bring up the name of Pat Robertson because I was kind of hoping that he'd forgotten about us, you know?
No. I don't think that'll ever happen. Like I say, I'm just waiting for him to lay the blame of the fires on the gays uh-huh. and lesbians and the floods uh-huh. on liberals and the tornadoes yeah. on secular humanists. It's got to happen.
You just don't need to conjure him up, so stop talking about
okay.
it. Okay,
I'll try to do that.
And what I wanted to also mention is that it might be getting a little late in the season for Alice to send out the Shea mint butter
yeah.
because she can't send it out in the right. summertime and you guys got super hot weather. But for those who need bug spray, it comes highly recommended from you.
Well, the bug roll-on, and thank you. I got it in the mail today. The,
oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Sweet summer scent. Summer's
okay.
scent. And,
okay.
and I love this stuff. I'm getting a little bit worried because I'm real tempted to take the marble off the top and start drinking it. I mean, this stuff smells so good and it's the only thing I know. I'm serious now. This is not a commercial. It's the only thing I've met, that doesn't have all these poisons in it that absolutely keeps mosquitoes and gnats, and we have stinging gnats down here.
Yeah,
we have these we call them no-see-ums.
They ate me up in Louisiana. Oh
yeah, they're
God.
Awful. They're awful.
They're awful.
But I tell you, Molly's been going to a circus camp this week, and some of the time she spends outside. Although they tried to keep them inside with this heat, but we roll that summer scent oil on her before she goes to summer camp. And we feel okay doing it because there's no poison in it. And it works. Right. I'll be damned. It works. I am just blown away.
If anybody needs, if it's too late to get the Shea Mint, then that lemon hemp
yeah.
cream, salve, it's good enough to put on like English muffins.
It is. It is. I mean, the stuff that Alice in Arkansas makes is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
She,
right.
She's amazing. Of all the products we've advertised on this program, if I could get everyone who listens to this program to just try one or two of... astonishing. I don't know how she does it, but it's just astonishing. Well, thanks. Thanks for the birthday greetings.
You betcha. I'm not in Arizona anymore because my friend where I was doing hospice care finally walked through the veil and it was good time, joyful time.
Mm.
So I've made my last 2,000-mile trip to Arizona and it just feels wonderful. So
yeah.
she's out there with us and, you know, it's good time. She was ready to go. So
well, I hear that.
I went down and helped her leave and I came home. So I'm back in Montana and here you go.
When are you going to start hauling veterans again?
I had a long talk about this the other night. I'm probably not. I'm on my way to Pine Ridge next week, though, to go to do another remote access medical clinic. We set
oh, yeah.
up. We serve about 800 or 900 people over on the reservation in South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and 50% of them are children, and it's wonderful. It's such a joy to put glasses on a little kid who's never been able to see,
or a high school
kid who could not see the blackboard all these years, and he had to sit up in the front of the room,
mm-hmm.
or an old grandpa whose glasses broke years ago and he hasn't been able to see, or the woman who had a toothache for 4 years till she got to us, and oh God. It's wonderful. So anyway, I'm on my way over to Pine Ridge next week.
Well, bless your heart, Kay, and just be careful. You do more traveling than anybody I know except truck drivers. So, you know, please.
I gave that up. That was my last blue collar Heidi Holt. So anyway, I just got my little truck now. So yeah, anyway, it's careful. I got road angels, and they're
If anybody does, yeah, you got them. Kate, thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Happy birthday, Sunday. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care, Kate. I love that woman. We'll be right back.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms, and the message was written by Tim in L.A., and the message we hear at the Mike Malloy chat, as well as the Mike Malloy Head on Radio Network Skype chat, and in parentheses, join us, want to thank you for being the lone voice of sanity among the conservative madness spewing their hatred upon us. Your message to us every night, even when it's a best of, or when Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is on, prevents us from taking that proverbial leap off the ledge of life. That's great alliteration there, Tim. Leap off the ledge of life. Or reaching for box four of the four boxes to preserve liberty in hatred. We want to thank you, and I'm sure the folks in Japan would say the same. Thanks, Tim, and thanks the guys and girls in the Malloy chat room. What a crew. Like I said, that's the platoon I want to be with when the barricades go up, as they surely will eventually. So all the people there in the Molly chat room, let's make sure that let's make sure. I'm trying to parse my words here. I don't want the Secret Service to show up or the FBI and say, what the hell were you talking about on your tacky-ass little program last night? Huh? Barricades? Sanchez is in L.A. or someplace. Hi, Sanchez.
Somewhere thereabouts.
Right. The Republic of California.
Yes, I'll give you that one.
Yeah. What's up, Sanchez?
Well, I wanted to talk about, you were just mentioning Fukushima.
And
there was today, or actually there yesterday.
Sanchez, wait a minute. Somebody's whistling for you.
That's actually my bird. Let me tell him to quiet down.
Oh, it's
here.
A bird.
Yeah. He flew on top here. He's on my shoulder.
Oh, okay. That's all right. We'll leave him there then. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
At any rate, there yesterday or our today, they were doing an Arab, as one reporter called it, an Arab Spring style protest march. It's all over their nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to start up one in the western part of the country. It's in Ohi, I think it's called. And last Monday, they had three alarm bells sound in the plant on one day alone.
Mm.
They determined that two of the alarm bells were from human error, and the one was from a technical error. But But there's concerns over dust particles. They're finding them 100 kilometers. When they're vacuuming up the dust, they're finding radioactive dust. Come on, Jojo, come on. Be good. I'm sorry about that.
No, no problem.
Anyway, they found these particles, of radioactive particles, about 100 kilometers from Fukushima. So they're concerned about that. So they were out in the street en masse. Some people were estimating the crowds to be from 20,000 to up to 100,000 people.
Really?
Yeah. I posted something on your Mike Malloy Show page about that, and also I'll post the footage from the reporters. Unfortunately, it's in Japanese, so only Tim from L.A. will be able to translate that for us. By the way, shout out to the folks in the chat room for me.
Well, they already have shouted you out. You know, Tim from L.A. had sent me a couple of articles regarding the enormous uptick in measurable radiation inside, I think, containment vessel 4 or reactor 4. What he sent me was a link to a page that's fairly technical with lots of graphs on it, which do not translate, obviously, to radio. But I read it myself. I was looking at this, and it's just, I can't believe that this is happening to the country of Japan, and possibly a hell of a lot more, a larger geographic area than just Japan.
Right.
And the fact that the one thing I said, or I read, said it's going to take a minimum of 40 years
right.
to clean this up. 40 years. So people who are 25 right now living in Japan, if nothing goes haywire, this mess will be cleaned up maybe, possibly, when they're 65 years old. That's a little bit staggering.
Yeah, it is. The other staggering thing is, while doing the research and looking for links for this story, I found a story. They're doing protests in China, and they're letting that information go out. They're that concerned, you know, across the sea there in China, that they're doing the restart of these nuclear plants.
Sure.
So that's an issue. You're familiar with Dr. Helen Caldicott,
right? Oh, sure,
right?
Sure, yes.
She had an article that came out about, I think about a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. and one of the points that she says about the waters, the ocean water here on the West Coast, is she wouldn't advise anybody to go surfing in it anymore. And what's really weird is our oldies but goodies station here in L.A. is having a California Beach Classics weekend.
Why is she recommending people not go swimming? That seems a little extreme.
Well, because
surfing.
The cesium levels, and they were talking, she was discussing how the cesium levels are coming through the smaller fish in the sea. Those are then fed upon by the larger fish,
right.
with the cesium levels becoming embedded. There was another concern that was made from a different author, Arnie Gunderson, who's also keeping track of a lot of the activities there in Fukushima. His big concern is whether the U.S. government will allow the people in the Northwest to declare the salmon to be radioactive. Oh, my bird is trying to keep up with me here.
Well, it's just hellish. Hey, listen, I gotta go, Sam.
Okay, man, sorry about that bird, but. Anyway.
Oh, no, that's all right. I love your bird. Probably would love it more with a little cranberry sauce. Take it easy, Sanchez.
Love and light to you guys.
All right, talk to you later.
seven past. I'm just the Sanchez, if he's still listening, I didn't mean to freak you out with that, you know, cranberry sauce and your bird. I know that that bird is like family to you. I understand. I don't know. It's, you know, Friday night. And so, Sanchez, I hope you're not, you know, I hope I didn't offend you or the bird.
You can now start officially claiming senility.
Senility?
Yeah, just say senility.
Senility.
Anytime, anyway, just say I'm just getting feeble-minded due to advanced age. I wanted to say something when Kate in the Desert called in and we ran up on the break about the Heel and Holler stuff. I have to be careful when I put this stuff on. Because if I put this stuff on my hands, my legs, my face, wherever I'm...
If
the dog is anywhere within...
Rusty comes
about
in.
A 6-foot rate. I mean, the dog knows when I'm right. opening the jar.
Well, he
and
does that.
And the dog
that.
Bounds over and starts licking me.
He does that with everything we've gotten from Alice. I mean, he loves all the lemon
she
hemp
ought
cream.
She ought to make pet food.
Yeah, she should. The lemon hemp cream, the... what's the other?
I have to pull the blanket over my head, or the dog licks my skin off. The Shea Mint.
Yeah, the Shea Mint.
All of it. The lemon hem cream is my all-time favorite. I have to.
But
tell
Rusty,
you.
Rusty just, Rusty, just, you have to beat him off with a stick.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like there must be doggy crack in there or something. I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but it's good stuff. Anyway. Yeah, but I just wanted to clear that up about Sanchez, you know, my brother Sanchez, who has the bird. And I just, you know, Sanchez, I'm just kidding, man, you know. I'm kidding about the cranberry sauce. I don't care for cranberry sauce. You know, good onion gravy, yeah, it might be a little bit different. Tim from L.A. is called in to... tell us about the horror. Tim from L.A. has relatives in Japan. Tim from L.A. had relatives who were incarcerated when FDR, the great liberal, locked people up because they looked like Japanese people, even though they were hyphenated. They were Japanese-American citizens. But anyway, here's Tim from L.A. to tell us about contamination. That caller, I think it was a caller that said, yeah, Sanchez, the birdman, that said... they're advising, Helen Caldicott says she wouldn't advise people on the U.S. West Coast to go surfing. Really?
Yes. The reason why is because Japan is continuing to dump, you know, the radioactive waste into the ocean.
Right.
And, you know, from the reactors. And I think there's a reason. This is just a theory because Japan is not really saying anything, but when you start actually researching what's happening in Japan, in a strange way, you can understand why they're doing it. Japan is being pressured by the EU and the U.S. to join the FTA, which is a free trade agreement, and the EPA, whatever, I forgot what the acronym was for EPA, because they want Japan to trade. But one starts thinking, why would anyone want to buy anything from Japan? Because it's going to be contaminated.
Manufactured products?
Right. So then, you know, because so you start thinking, well, what happened if the trade is one way, you know, like buying stuff from Europe and the U.S. because a lot of the stuff, you know, the food, clothing and everything is contaminated. So the Japanese government or people would have to buy from them and then prop up their economy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a theory. They're dumping everything, all the waste and everything into the ocean. So that in case something does happen, it wouldn't be as bad. That's probably their theory. You know, that's just my theory. And I think because they're doing that and because they're continuing to dump all the waste to the ocean, it goes from the Pacific Ocean and from Fukushima or from Japan to the U.S. and back, and it keeps on going. Because if you would have stopped the dumping, all the radioactive waste would sink to the bottom. Because, the waste is continuing to be... dumped out. The whole Pacific Ocean is going to be contaminated. And I have a friend who was in Hawaii body surfing. Well, actually, not my friend's friend went to Hawaii. They went surfing. I think it was back in January.
Mm-hmm.
When she got out of the ocean, she had this like really really bad rash, painful rash because of the radiation. And around that time, they said, oh, it hasn't reached Hawaii yet. so, you know, wet. So,
well, now, wait. Are you saying that there is dumping of radioactive waste into the ocean?
Yes.
Oh, come on. That's against how many different agreements and international treaties? I mean, you can't do that.
You know how they're framing it, though, because, you know, again, my friend Lottie and Psychotica inside the room said they're not saying they're dumping it. It's leaking, and they can't find the hole.
Huh. But you're saying it's a deliberate operation by who? TEPCO or the Japanese government?
The Japanese government because of the free trade agreement, and TEPCO. And when you see the photos, the NOAA photos, I think I shipped it to you. You could see the radioactive waste.
Right. Well, yeah. I couldn't identify what it was, but I saw the photos of the structure that housed what, the unit 4? Is that that structure, the one that was bulging out?
Yeah. But I mean, the spill, you know, as Fukushima is saying, or as Japan is saying, into the Pacific Ocean. You know, what's not a spill, because I think the photo they had on for NOAA, for example, is showing that it's not a spill because it's too big. But that's how they're actually getting around that. The treaties and everything, because they're saying it's a spill. Japan Times is saying it's a spill. A lot of the newspaper, like Asahi Shimbun or, you know, the different Japanese newspapers in Japan are saying it's a spill. But when you look at the photos from NOAA from outer space, it is not a spill. It's dumping.
Interesting that this story has virtually disappeared from the American press, certainly from television, the so-called television news in this country. There's just there's no information about this. There's no assessment about this. There's no reporting about this whatsoever.
Well, that's why we have programs like yours, and that's why we donate to your program, so we can get information like this out.
What about what's going on in Japan? What is the attitude of the population? How big is Japan? 100? No, it's not 100 million, is it? Population?
It's about 111 million.
Is it? What is the attitude of the Japanese people? Not just the ones living in that particular, I guess it's called a prefecture, like a county or whatever, but the entire country, the length of the country. What is the attitude?
From what I'm hearing, it's kind of somber, because it's like, you know, again, they have that. Remember I told you about the word shikataganai, you know, it can't be helped. There's a lot of people who are like that, unfortunately.
They just accept it.
Well, accept it. They said there's nothing we could do, but there are people who are going on and protesting. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of division between, you know, different prefectures. For example, like Fukushima prefecture, whether it was a prefecture, you have people in Tokyo, they're not getting along. Because, you know, it's been like this since, you know, the shogun's been around.
Mm-hmm.
And they argue, they get into fights with each other because, you know, they use different dialects and they have different, you know, the prefectures are different attitudes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, a lot of people, especially in Fukushima, are committing suicide. Not because they're depressed or, you know, mad or whatever is that. It's because, well, the government's not doing anything. TEPCO is getting away with murder, so we want to give our children a chance, so I will kill myself, you know, like an old or elderly person would say, so they can have the contaminated free food.
Well,
so
Tim, hold on. I've got to do some commercials here, but I want to ask you a few more things about this story. So if you don't mind, hold on just for a second. We're talking with Tim from L.A., who is his heritage is Japanese. He has family there, and he lives in, obviously, L.A. We'll be right back.
Well, you better listen, my sisters and brothers, because if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years. And they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land.
the hour. We're talking with Tim from L.A., who is giving us a quick tutorial here on the disaster in Fukushima. All right. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Tim, was I realized that the cultural attitudes or societal attitudes in Japan are entirely different from those in this country. But since there has been, to some degree, you know, a mushing together of so many attitudes of industrialized societies, I don't think that, and this is coming from, you know, someone who lives here, I don't think the attitudes could be that different in Japan as they would be here. I think that's evidenced by the fact now that you're saying people are protesting. What are they protesting about?
What's happening with, basically what's happening with BEPCO, they want all the plants to shut down, but, you know, you compare the population of the people who are protesting versus, you know, the average Japanese person, and most don't want to cause trouble. I mean, even right. though Japan has advanced so many years, you know, from, you know, the feudalistic period when they have samurais to today, mm-hmm. they still have that attitude, because to a degree, I have that same attitude too, because I was brought up that way, mm-hmm. you know, with those values, like respecting my elders mm-hmm. and things of that effect. And, oh, I mean, 50,000 people is a lot more than what's happened here in the U.S., but it's not big enough or large enough to, I guess, really to make a difference in Japan. I mean, if half the population, or like you said, a million people, were to protest Japan, then something major would happen. But apparently, I'll be honest, capitalism went into Japan, and it's destroying the country. Because mm-hmm. during the Samurai era, a businessman was at the bottom of the caste system in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so today, we're seeing what, you know, capitalism is doing today, especially in Japan. And that pisses me off, by the way.
Well,
so the
imagine.
Attitude for the Japanese people in Japan, again, is, for many of the people, is katakanai. And I'm pen-palling with someone from Japan who knows nothing. Well, I'm leaving here about the protests. They're worried about the radiation. And their attitude's like, there's nothing we could do, which is sad. And I'll send you a video, by the way, of how Japanese schools are treating their children, you know, making them eat radioactive, I guess, tangerines or mikan. And that just made me cry when I saw this. Because I think a four or five-year-old boy.
Why? Why are they doing this?
Because it's wasteful. It's bad to waste food.
Uh-huh.
And to disrespect the farmers. That's their mentality.
Is this from the Shinto religion?
I don't know if it's religion per se, but that's how they were brought up, again, from the 12th to 13th, you know, mm-hmm. generation, whatever that generation, but from the 12th, 13th, you know, century,
mm-hmm.
far all the way back to like 50,000 years. That's how the Japanese were, because they respected the farmers, like, because my family members are farmers. And when my aunt, who was 8 years old in 1908, I'm sorry, she and her sister, who was 10 at the time, used to walk down the streets. Adults used to walk, bow, you know, step aside and bow down to them.
Because they were farmers, yeah.
And because, you know, they were respected, because the shogun gave them a samurai sword. And they were respected farmers, but they were farmers. Mm-hmm. We always gave thanks to the farmers, you know, just before we eat. You'll see Japanese people say, itadakimasu, which essentially means thank you for the food, but they're not saying it to God, they're saying it to the farmers.
Mm. Yeah, so, well, that makes more sense.
So when the child refused, they want to eat the mikan, or what's it, the tangerine, the school teacher said, if you don't eat it, you will not play, so the kid has to eat it, thus, getting him sick.
God.
And I have a video, and I'll give it to you, by the way.
Yeah, please do. Tim, I've got to boogie. We have a break coming here. I hope you'll call in more often with some information about this, because, like I said, there is nothing. I mean, you can dig for it online, but there's nothing in popular media in this country, right, television or print anymore. It just seems like occasionally you still see something in the New York Times, but it's like it's disappeared. And
recreate is going to kill Japan. It's going to kill my family.
Well, I mean, word needs to be gotten out about the enormity of this. This accident, I guess you would call it. Tim, thanks a lot. I appreciate you
checking in.
All right, take care. Not accident, but this natural occurrence that resulted in this tragedy because of where these nuclear plants were located. These reactors were located, same as in this country, in coastal areas, on fault lines. Jesus, God. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Before the hour, got a couple of emails here over the past day or two from Kauai John, who lives in Hawaii. The first one had to do with the fires that were closing in Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy. I want to share a couple of these with you. He writes, this was on the 27th. What's the date today? Today's the 29th. He wrote, I'm a U.S. Air Force Academy graduate. Let's just say it was a long, long time ago. I went to my last class reunion 10 to 15 years ago. As I got off the plane in Colorado Springs, a feeling of total and complete evil enveloped me. Anyone who wonders why that might be would be someone who does not understand evolution or global warming, someone who fails to pay attention to the evil being perpetrated around them. Well, it was nice to see my former classmates, and I want to be proud of my accomplishments, you know, truth, justice, and the American way. Let's just say that I've supported Mikey Weinstein and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation even more than my contributions to Kucinich and Alan Grayson. Like you, I'm not sure there's a God, or even if there is, that he gives a damn about the choices you or I make. Robert Heinlein comes close to expressing the point when he said in Stranger in a Strange Land, Thou art God. What I get out of this is that we are all just figments of God's imagination, and if you think about it long enough and hard enough, everyone is a figment of my imagination, since I'm God. So I guess the fact that 32,000 people in Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy had to run from a climate warming induced wildfire is my fault. I cannot think of a better place to demonstrate God's wrath than this sanctimonious Gomorrah. F 'em. Kauai John. And then I got this today. You know, other things have been going on that have gotten lost in the phony uproar over the Affordable Care Act. One of those things was on the same day the resolution to hold Eric Holder in contempt. And Cowai John writes this. I think the vote on House Resolution 711 holding Eric Holder in contempt shows us why Obama is taking such a, quote, centrist, end quote, approach. His party is infested with traitors and cowards. The list, this list, and he includes it, is the 17 Democrats in name only who supported the resolution to impeach. Support of this resolution is a betrayal of America. I'm especially offended by Tim Walz's vote. Being from the Minnesota First District, I have supported him in the past and contributed to his campaign. Well, no more. I know it's boring as all get out to name these names on the air, but unless someone exposes the traitors, they will continue to work against our country's best interests by pretending to be Republicans in order to keep their seat in Congress. We don't need to support cowards. No one likes a coward. No wonder the Democrats can barely hold on to power. Cowai John, he lists the folks here. These are Democrats who voted to hold Eric Holder in contempt. Mike Ross, Arkansas's 4th. John Barrow, Georgia's 12th. Leonard Boswell, Iowa's 3rd. Joe Donnelly, Indiana's 3rd. Ben Chandler, Kentucky's 6th. Tim Walz, Minnesota's 1st. Colin Peterson, Minnesota 7th. Mike McIntyre, North Carolina 7th. Larry Kissel, North Carolina 8th. Bill Owens, New York, 23rd District. Kathleen Hochul, New York, 26th District. Dan Boren, Oklahoma, 2nd District. Jason Altmaier, Pennsylvania, 4th District. Mark Kritz, Pennsylvania 12th. Jim Matheson, Utah, 2nd District. Ronald Kind, Wisconsin, 3rd District. And Nick Rahal, West Virginia, 3rd District. These are the Democrats that voted to hold Eric Holder in contempt. Because, you know, I don't know how closely you followed this gun-walking phony-ass case that was started during the Bush years and ended by Eric Holder. We've mentioned it briefly on this program. I hate anything Daryl Issa is involved in because to me he's a goddamn liar, a criminal, and belongs in prison someplace. But he's not. He's the richest man in the entire legislative branch of government, or at least in the House. I don't know if that includes the Senate. I better not say something I'm not sure of. But he's a thug and a punk. And he has a bad dye job, too, on his hair. Anyone can see that. But the way this arrogant twit walks down the hall, I mentioned this the other night, with all these little interns thrusting microphones in his mouth to get some kind of a comment as he takes on Eric Holder and Barack Obama. I mean, these Republicans are swine. Just total scum. So anyway, in this phony investigation, and here's the fun part, of course. First of all, I don't think Eric Holder gives a rat's ass if these honkies indict him or not indict him, but hold him in contempt or not. You know, I'm sure Eric is thinking to himself, "What's the problem, honk? What do you know? What do you want?" Eric doesn't care, and Obama might care, because Obama's always trying to, get these Republicans to be kissy-kissy, or at least act like human beings, and they never will. Mr. President, you ought to quit, you know what I'm saying? But nobody cares about this. I mean, does anybody give a tinker's damn about this phony-ass little resolution? Oh, we're holding Eric Holder in contempt. Oh, yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the Justice Department? Hey, dumbasses, he heads the Justice Department. You know, he's the Attorney General. What, you want him to arrest himself? You rat bastards. But these Democrats, this is why I'm not a Democrat any longer. I mean, it's this kind of stuff. 17 Democrats go along with this half-witted attempt to embarrass Obama. You know, one thing that Issa refused to do was to call any witnesses from the Bush administration who set this up. And now I find out there's a lengthy piece in Fortune magazine. I haven't read the whole thing. But either one or two women worked together to put this report out. This whole event, there's questions if it ever happened. Now, the Fortune piece will not get the kind of publicity that it should get. And it's too long for me to read it on the air. I think you can find it at fortune.com. I don't know. But as the evidence is plain, that nobody cares about Daryl Issa's tacky ass little resolution. What we do care about, we people who used to be Democrats, we people who expect some kind of loyalty within the Democratic caucus, what we do care about are these 17 newly minted rat bastards who side with Republicans to destroy the Obama administration. Now, I know, let's not get into it about what the Obama, what Barack Obama is authorizing, what Barack Obama is doing. Why don't these sons of bitches in the House, I'm sorry, yeah, in the House, why don't they begin impeachment hearings against him for ordering the murder of people extrajudicially? Why don't you do that, Issa? You filthy bastard, or whoever on the Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, where articles of impeachment are supposed to arise. Why don't you go after Obama on something of substance? And the answer is very simple, because you thugs support the same policies. So what are you going to do? You just want the Negro out of the White House. You don't give a goddamn what he does. You just want him gone. Republicans and these Democrats, shame on all of you. Rahal, Kind, Matheson, Kritz, Altmaier, Boren, Hochul, Owens, Kissel, McIntyre, Peterson, Waltz, Chandler, Donnelly, Boswell, Barrow, and Ross. Shame on you. Why don't you turn in your well, it doesn't make any difference anymore. I mean, turn in your Democratic Party card. Give me a break. You're not Democrats. And the Republicans aren't Republicans. You're a bunch of skunks. You're a bunch of skunks, and you do exactly what your puppet masters tell you to do. To hell with all of you. The day will come when you people, you so-called members of the House and the Senate, will look back and wonder why the House and the Senate don't even exist anymore.
I can see death's disguise hanging on me. You leave me in my misery. Trouble, trouble, please be
frogs all over the place here. 10 before the hour on the Malloy program. Andrew has been holding on forever in San Jose, California. Hello, Andrew.
Mike, so amazing to talk to you. I mean, you're speaking the truth so much that the Clear Channel stations want to play your show, want to shove your show late at night. I really missed you on 9:60 a.m. here. Anyway, I wanted to speak regarding this bad, bad week for the Republicans. The Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, and now Congress is actually passing bills. Don't
yeah,
you find
the,
that so amazing?
The student loan interest bill, but I understand they're only extending it for a year.
I've been looking back at this Congress, and I think that had one of those plots like making the U.S. default on the debt, shutting down the government, extending the, I mean, letting the student loan rates double,
mm-hmm.
or the Supreme Court overturning Obamacare, or shutting down the transportation work, all these situations would have straight up handed the election to Romney in November. So, and now I'm reading, there's this article in the New York Times today that reported about this Iranian envoy to the U.N. basically saying that, let me go look that up. But my point is that now that the Republicans are failing at their efforts to crash the economy, I would say that there might be some, they might be doing backroom deals with Iran. I mean, in fact, I was listening to Tom Hartman earlier, like a week ago, and he was talking about how John McCain was trying to sabotage the Russia-Georgia talks in order to influence the election. I mean, they just basically win by cheating, you know.
Yeah, well, they either win by cheating, if winning is the right word, or by corruption and fraud and lies and deceit. But I hear what you're saying, Andrew. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Something else here that I got just a minute ago from Sheila Samples at Op-Ed. Website. She writes, earlier tonight when you were talking about the Keystone XL pipeline, I wanted you to know that it was dropped from the transportation bill, probably because Republicans don't want even more problems, especially with the weekend news coming up. And she sent me a link to the article from EcoWatch.org. It says, in the 11th hour during negotiations on the transportation bill on June 27, language requiring approval of the Keystone XL pipeline and barring the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulation of coal ash waste, both were dropped. The Keystone XL rider would have mandated approval of this unnecessary and dangerous tar sands pipeline that would threaten the nation's largest aquifer that supplies a third of the U.S. irrigated farmland and drinking water for millions of Americans. Had the provision remained in the House Republican-backed bill, it would have required the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to approve the pipeline within 30 days from receiving an application from TransCanada Corporation. The coal ash rider or amendment would have put communities at risk from the toxic solid waste left over after coal is burned. Currently, there are no federal standards for disposing of coal ash. On June 27th, the EPA released information revealing the existence of hundreds of previously unknown coal ash dumps nationwide. The data released by the EPA revealed that there are at least 451 more coal ash ponds than previously acknowledged, significantly increasing the known threat from coal ash. The information comes pursuant to a Freedom of Information Act request by Environmental Integrity Project and Earth Justice. Donna Listenby, part of the River Keepers, said, quote, ever since I collected the first water samples from the Kingston coal ash disaster in 2008, I've seen firsthand the toxicity of coal ash on waterways and communities across America. Coal ash should be regulated as a hazardous waste, she continues, because it is full of heavy metals. Getting the ash rider removed from the transportation bill is a major victory for clean water. The EPA should be allowed to properly regulate this toxic waste without further legislative interference. Water keepers send our thanks to members of Congress who acted to protect drinking water and human health today. No, that blew right by me. I had no idea. Thanks, Sheila. We'll do some more on that probably Monday on the program. Now, I don't know if that means that the Keystone XL pipeline legislation is dead or not. I don't think it is. It just was dropped from the transportation bill. I don't think Republicans have had any kind of an epiphany, anything to make them act as, you know, as if they were really responsible American citizens. I don't think Republicans or conservatives are responsible American citizens. They're scum. They're out to destroy everything. So anyway, thanks, Sheila. I'll check into this and see if there's what else is involved in the story. If you're on hold, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We're flat out of time. But anyway, thanks for hanging out tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.